This is The Rewind from the Tufts Daily. I'm Arlo Moore Bloom. The Rewind is a podcast that explores a few local stories in depth every week. Thanks for joining us for our first ever episode. This week, I'm joined first by Connor Dale, who covered the Tufts climate strike, and then by Austin Clementi, who reported on the swastika incident last week. Connor, hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Before we get started with the Tufts climate strike, let's rewind back to August of 2018. Who started protesting where about what?
Yeah, so this story really starts with a 16-year-old Swedish climate activist named Greta Thunberg. Greta started protesting outside of Swedish Parliament in Stockholm, and her one-person strikes were about the Swedish government's inaction on the climate crisis.
And why did she say it wasn't worthwhile for her to go to school on Fridays?
Right. So Greta made the point that when she was looking ahead to her future, she really thought that her studies were kind of insignificant compared to the impending climate crisis. Why sit in school when my future is at risk was kind of her thinking.
So around a year later, more climate activists have followed suit. Last Friday, an estimated 4 million people, many of whom were students, walked out of their schools and jobs in a global climate strike. You were at Tufts' own climate strike that Friday. Could you set the scene for me? Where was it? Who was there? What were people feeling?
Yeah, for sure. So I actually got there kind of late. It was supposed to happen at 10:15 a.m. and I got there for maybe 10:20, 10:25. But I'm kind of glad that I did, because I was walking down the stairs in between the campus center and the bookstore. I'm just greeted by this massive crowd of people. High energy, overflowing onto Talbot Ave and all the way up to the Kosher Deli. And it was just really a sight to behold. I think one of the first things I immediately noticed was A, the amount of people that were there, but B, the amount of people from different groups. The Tufts climate strike was really organized by a coalition of activism groups. The activists made sure to make the strike very personal. They told stories about their experiences with climate change, the climate crisis. There were a lot of songs. They very much highlighted climate change's disproportionate impact on people of color. And they really grounded the strike in their own experiences.
And what did Caitlin Colino, one of the event's organizers, say about her math class?
Caitlin said that right now, kind of similar to Greta, her priority is not her math class. Her priority is saying to our governments that radical policy change needs to be made immediately in order to save the planet.
The Tufts climate organizers first plan to help transport strikers to the Boston climate strike. Why did they change their minds about what they would do last Friday?
Right. So some of the organizers, I think Sunrise Movement Tufts specifically, was really just planning on offering an easy way for students to get to the strike in Boston. But they changed their minds and decided to hold their own strike at Tufts in order to call attention to the university's role in perpetuating the climate crisis through its investments in the fossil fuel industry.
Okay, so let's get into that. Tufts has promised to be carbon neutral by 2050. First off, what does carbon neutral mean? And secondly, what are some things they need to do to get there?
Generally speaking, to be carbon neutral, your carbon emissions and your use of renewable energy kind of cancel each other out. So your carbon emissions are offset by the investments maybe that you've made in more efficient buildings, renewable energy more generally. Operationally, Tufts kind of has been moving towards their goal of being carbon neutral by 2050. They've been investing in renewable energy. They've been building energy efficient buildings that are LEED certified, with the exception of the new Cummings Center. And so operationally, in kind of their infrastructure goals, those are the steps that they're taking to be carbon neutral.
So it sounds like they are in the process of getting there. But I've also heard people be very critical of Tufts
in terms of their complicity in climate change. Tufts champions the phrase active citizenship. In this context, what does that mean?
Just stepping back a little bit, I would say, yes, operationally, Tufts has been kind of moving towards their carbon neutral goal by 2050. The argument by some of the activists, though, Tufts climate action specifically, is that ideally, Tufts shouldn't be emitting carbon or supporting industries that perpetuate the climate crisis by emitting carbon in the first place. And this is where the divestment idea comes to mind. Tufts Climate Action is calling for Tufts to divest from its 2% of total assets that they have in the fossil fuel industry. In the activist minds, that's the way to truly be carbon neutral. And so when it comes to this idea of act in citizenship, you know, Tufts kind of champions that phrase. They view it as, you know, recognizing your responsibility to societies as well as the environment, and actually taking steps to do something about it. And so I think right now, some of the activists on campus would say that while Tufts kind of champions this idea of active citizenship, they're kind of dropping the ball in terms of the environment.
So after the Tufts specific strike, where did the Tufts students go?
So after the Tufts strike, student activists led the crowd down College Avenue, which was really an incredible site, just college students stretched from the campus center all the way down to kind of that plaza of Duncan and everything.
Powderhouse Square,
right. And they're on the way to Davis Square, where they then boarded the Red Line in waves of people. And ultimately, they're heading to the Boston climate strike at City Hall Plaza.
And the people who organized the Boston strike, who were they?
So the Boston climate strike was entirely organized by people under the age of 20. These were activists working with the Massachusetts climate strike, and it was entirely youth-led. Students attending Boston public schools were organizers. Students all across Massachusetts were organizers. They proclaimed themselves the generation of the Green New Deal.
And then they made it to the State House and called on Governor Charlie Baker to respond to their demands. What were those demands?
So as the activists were standing inside of Memorial Hall, they called for Baker to come out of his office and meet them face to face. Their specific demands were that he declare a statewide ecological emergency, that lawmakers pass policies to help the people who live in already poor and polluted areas. So this idea of bringing about environmental justice, that was the second demand. And then the third was that Massachusetts stop using fossil fuels and stop building infrastructure to support it. Baker did not end up making an appearance, and so the youth activists vowed that they would be back next week.
So do you think they'll be there today?
They should be, yeah.
Throughout your coverage, you also talked to a student named Elliot Trahan. Who is he and what is he like?
So Elliot is a sophomore. He has this incredible long blonde hair, which I bring up because I think it really captures his persona. He's really just this like bright ball of energy. And he's a organizer with Sunrise Movement Tufts. This is his first semester really committing to Sunrise. So a professor asked Elliot why he was still sitting in class if he truly believed in the urgency of climate change. He actually didn't have an answer. It was kind of his inability to answer the question that led himself to devote himself entirely to Sunrise and to addressing the climate crisis more generally. Elliot said that this is a climate emergency and let's act like it.
That was Connor Dale, who covered the Tufts climate strike for The Daily. Thanks, Connor. And now, a word from our sponsors.
This week's episode is brought to you by Tasty Cafe at 321 Boston Ave. Tasty serves acai bowls, fresh egg sandwiches, and delicious fruit smoothies. Tasty Cafe is the only restaurant near Tufts that serves francesinhas, a classic Portuguese sandwich. Tasty is open every day from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., so go check them out today.
Our next guest is Austin Clementi, head of the news section at The Daily.
Austin, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So tell me everything you know about what happened on Tuesday, September 17th. That's last Tuesday.
So President Monaco sent out an email to students Tuesday morning letting everyone know that a student on that Sunday night, so Sunday the 15th, found a swastika posted on their door. This was a Jewish student. A very clear incident of anti-Semitism, which Monaco condemned in his email. He also invited students to go to the Deborah Lipstadt event that night and her talk about anti-Semitism.
And where were you when you found out?
I was in front of Tisch Library on my way to get coffee, and I got a text from one of my writers who said, check your email. Monaco just sent out an email. This writer is Alexander Thompson. He actually contributed a good amount of reporting on this article, and he told me to check the email, and I saw it, and you know, I just was like, well, I guess I'm reporting breaking news now.
And what was the first thing you did after you read that email?
The first thing I did was to call Tufts' media relations team, because they're usually kind of slowest to respond to these sorts of things. I called and left a message for Patrick Collins, who basically just said he would let Monaco's statement stand on its own. Usually in these sorts of situations, you just sort of camp outside people's offices until mm-hmm. they give you a statement, because it's a really high turnaround story. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do that in this case because there were just so many sources that I had to get into contact with. So I called our press liaison with TUPD, and he wouldn't provide any further comment on the situation. I went to public safety, camped out there for a minute until the writer who told me about the email, Alexander Thompson, said he would do that, so that I could just get on other things with the story. So I sat upstairs outside of the admissions offices in Dowling and just wrote the story.
And why is university and The Daily withholding the resident's identity?
When you're publishing a story like this that's really sensitive, probably a very emotional event for the person that it happened to, you know, you want to also sort of look out for them and recognize that they're probably reading the story too. So, you know, when I'm publishing a breaking news story that a lot of people are going to read, I also want to let that person know that, like, I'm not out here looking for them, trying to find their identity, trying to expose them. And the other thing is that, like, you know, the university never reveals names in these sorts of investigations, which is mm-hmm. definitely a good practice that The Daily recognizes. And you know, I just wanted to establish that, like, I am not looking for anyone's identity.
What about the perpetrator? Do we have any idea who put the swastika on the student's door?
Right now, we don't, and TUPD hasn't updated us on this yet. That being said, the incident did occur in a dorm. We don't know which dorm it was, but it happened in a dorm. You can't really get into a dorm unless you're a Tufts affiliate. The day after the event, a bunch of posters actually appeared around campus, which said, Nazis off our campus, or no tolerance for Nazis, things like that. I'm sure people have seen them around. And below, there's a phrase in Yiddish underneath it. I'm not sure if it's the same phrase for every poster, but I had Rabbi Naftali Brower with Hillel translate it. And it means something to the effect of, we will outlive them. And he said it was a sort of chant, or, you know, just like rallying cry that Jews who were victims of the Holocaust use at the time. So, like, definitely just, you know, that sort of shows, like, how much it matters to people mm-hmm. That there could be someone on campus who would do this.
Mm-hmm. Some students have said that Monaco's words were stronger than usual in his email. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Monaco's words were pretty strong. Definitely just him outright saying, like, I condemn these actions. You know, we will punish or sanction, I believe is the word he used, any member of our community who did this. That's a pretty strong response. On the other hand, I interviewed some people who were not very satisfied with his response and said it wasn't very strong. You know, Monica was talking about a lot of division happening on campus, but to say that division is the issue when a swastika is being posted on a student's door is, it seems like a misidentification of the issue.
Mm-hmm. This isn't the first time something like this has happened on our campus, right? What happened last winter?
So this has unfortunately been just an increasing pattern on our campus. Last year, Danny Nelson, who was executive news editor in my position at the time, he was walking home and he found posters that said, it's okay to be white on get out the vote signs. And that phrase has been associated with the alt-right. It originated, I believe, on 4chan. On some alt-right forums there. So yeah, that was one other incident that, you know, it harkened back to the far right, similar to the way a swastika would.
And then what about the posters that were put up on Hillel in February?
Last year there were some posters depicting these militarized pigs defacing Tufts Hillel, and they called attention to Israel, and that definitely like kind of shook the Jewish community at Tufts. In addition, the poster referred to American pigs, but it replaced the C in American with KKK. The Ku Klux Klan is an anti-Semitic organization, and to associate Hillel with the Ku Klux Klan is absurd, regardless of the opinions of people in Hillel on the state of Israel.
And how is the president's response to that different from his response this time around?
Monica's response last year was definitely less strong, and it wasn't very specific. It seemed to sort of misreport facts, or rather, there weren't a lot of facts in the email. It didn't say exactly what the posters said. It just said that anti-Semitic flyers were put up on Hillel. It's not something that anyone can really put into use. With so little information, how are you supposed to respond to that? Right. Whereas this time around, Monica very clearly said there was a swastika put on a student's door on Sunday night in a dorm.
Do you think students were surprised when they heard about this incident?
One really good quote in the article was from Micah Krause, who said, there's just nothing surprising about this, especially given the context of the It's Okay to Be White poster showing up, the Hillel postering. Other events on campus just make it less and less surprising.
What do you think that says about our campus in general?
I mean, just that people are feeling more and more emboldened to spread any form of hatred or white supremacy.
That was Austin Clementi, the executive news editor for The Daily. Thanks, Austin. This was The Rewind from the Tufts Daily. Thank you again for joining us for our first ever episode. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and support the Tufts Daily. The Rewind is hosted by me, Arlo Moore Bloom, and Maddie Reed. Our executive producer is Hannah Kahn. See you next week.